Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa School of Social Work, offering the opportunity to earn a master's degree from anywhere in Iowa, including an all-online MSW program. Information at socialwork.uiowa.edu.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. When the pandemic struck in March, schools had to go online in a hurry. Districts scrambled to try to equip all of their students with the tools they'd need for distance learning. And for a lot of students, the school year effectively ended in early March. Iowa school districts spent all summer working hard to come up with their return to learn plans. And then a number of districts had to rework those plans when state guidelines changed. And yes, lawsuits are still pending. While the majority of Iowa students will be physically returning to classrooms, at least on a part-time basis, online learning is a very important component of the 2020-2021 school year. And if things go poorly in person, it could become even more important as the year goes on. This hour, we'll explore the pros and cons of learning online. We'll talk about how teachers and students can make the most of it. We're going to check in with the director of the virtual campus for Des Moines Public Schools. And if your child or your kids have already started school online, we want to hear how it's going. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And my first guest this hour is Iowa Public Radio reporter Grant Gerlach. Hello, Grant.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you for being here. And reporters usually get a bit of a break from the education beat during the summer months. That has not been your experience this year.
Oh, no way. No.
So let's talk a little bit about how schools are returning. A number of school districts have already gone back to school. A lot of schools are offering online opportunities for their students, even if they're not going fully online, as no districts have been, except for the Cedar Rapids district, have been cleared to do so far in Iowa. So give us kind of an overview. What do you see in districts around the state?
Well, this was a big week because this is when most districts were going back to class, either some combination of all in-person with a virtual option, or a number of districts are starting with a hybrid plan where they kind of go 50-50 and trade off days between groups of students with, again, a virtual option for families that choose that. And already it gets a bit chaotic because we've already started seeing reports from different districts reporting cases of COVID-19 and responding at different levels to that. You mentioned Cedar Rapids is getting the go-ahead to start virtually. There's actually one small district in Marion County that has just gotten approval from the state to go virtual because of a number of staff members. That's the Twin Cedars district. And so that would be one of the first that would get a waiver to make that switch.
And when they make that switch, is it just approved for 2 weeks, or is that
right. Okay? Yeah.
So that that's a 2 week break.
Yeah, the state's giving approval for 2 weeks at a time.
Okay. So, of course, there are a lot of moving parts to this, and I have been talking with people in different districts about the hybrid option that a lot of people are pursuing, where they have half of the students in the school, maybe two to 3 days a week, and the other half of the students in the school the other 2 to 3 days of the week. And in some districts, there is distance learning or an online component on the days that the students are not in school. In some districts, there is not that component. The students are doing assignments that they've been given in the district. Do you have a feel for how common that is?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit all over the board. I think that is pretty common. Staffing is a challenge to satisfy all these needs for students that are in the classroom and online at the same time. So they may divide the day up so that they get a little time, or maybe one-on-one sessions over the course of a week with a teacher if they're all online, otherwise completing different assignments on whatever online platform they're using. I was talking to the Council Bluffs superintendent yesterday, and they're doing something that's kind of interesting. If students are, if they have an online day because they're doing a hybrid model, they're still in the classroom with their classmates virtually, They're using a camera that can look around the room for the students that are on their laptops so that it feels like they're in the classroom. And they'll even be projected based on their laptop cameras at times on the screen at the front of the room. So they're trying to, even though half the class is virtual, trying to give them all a presence at the same time in the classroom. And I thought that was an interesting approach.
That is interesting. And so a number of districts with their online option are creating specific online courses for students and teaching in a specialized way. We also see districts partnering with companies that provide these online courses, right?
Yeah, there are a number of different companies and platforms you'll hear about, like Seesaw or Canvas or Google Classroom. A lot of schools will be using things like Zoom or Microsoft Teams to provide the video conferencing. But there are definitely platforms and companies out there that are available to provide these things. And it just depends on what the technology that the schools have available to implement them, and I suppose the price that they want to pay for it.
Right. And in addition to those learning platforms, there are also the organizations that provide the curriculum. And often that's an asynchronous curriculum where a class will be taught through a series of videos or something like that. So there are lots of different options. And you mentioned the idea of having the camera in the classroom. A lot of districts and private schools have offered that as their online option. I heard this morning from a parent whose daughter goes to a private school in Iowa City. She says, my daughter signs on at 8:20 and signs off at 3:10. It's a very long day in front of her screen. Her classroom camera gives her a view of her teacher, the whiteboard, or her classmates, but not always at opportune moments. She is glad to be a virtual learner, but is feeling a little bit ignored. So I can imagine that there's a learning curve, but it also just strikes me that the online experience from district to district could be radically different.
Absolutely. And, you know, such a key thing when these students are online and away from school is just that contact with teachers and spending that time one-on-one whenever it's available, asking questions and getting that personal instruction and that personal connection with their educator. And that's something that will be hard to duplicate in a virtual world.
So as you are trying to keep your eye on all of the moving parts of this story right now, of course, we are following the COVID outbreaks in schools. We're following the lawsuits that are taking place and just observing the start of the school year. School sports is another element we're actually going to be talking about on Talk of Iowa tomorrow. But Grant, what do you feel is the biggest thing to keep our eyes on this fall as schools are trying to make this work and families are trying to make this work?
Okay. I'm really interested to see how schools work through these lawsuits and how they're making these decisions, whether they're part of these lawsuits or not. So we have Des Moines and Iowa City that are each suing the state, Iowa City with the Iowa State Education Association. Ames is planning on asking a judge to review the state's authority to direct in-person instruction. What you hear from the school boards that are discussing this is they feel like their hands are tied when it comes to responding to the community spread of the coronavirus. You know, for Ames and Iowa City being university communities, we've seen some rapid rises in the number of infections and the infection rate in those places. And you can tell that they're nervous about how quickly they're going to be able to respond and if they are going to have backing from the state when they make that decision. So those lawsuits are consequential. And activities are very important to families and students, and it really goes hand in hand, and it becomes really complicated. In Des Moines, they want to continue sports and other activities, even though they plan to start the year virtually, which is not what the state is directing schools to do. And so they're in a position where they're asking to start virtually but continue these in-person activities. And I think at times for their critics, it can sort of confuse the argument. But again, they're in a position where they have to seek permission or decide to go on their own and face the consequences that the state has set up for them.
There are options for students with online education. And I know that leading up to the release of the July 17th proclamation, there was a push to get people who didn't feel that their district would have a robust online option to enroll in the state online academy. So I'm also curious, Grant, do we know if districts have lost a significant number of their students leading up to this school year, which of course could really dramatically impact funding for each district?
No, we don't have those numbers yet. What I know is that some of the districts that have discussed their enrollment, you know, with a virtual option have seen higher numbers than they expected opting to go virtually, sometimes 30-40% of families choosing to start the year virtually rather than send their students to school, even if that's an option. And so there is a huge interest in pursuing their education virtually, even though there's also, you know, a lot of apprehension about what that really looks like and the quality of the education that will come along with that. So a lot of parents are interested in making that jump, even though they're not totally sure what it will mean for their kids.
Yeah, and a lot of uncertainty out there. I have this comment from a West Des Moines parent whose kids are planning to go online. She says, most West Des Moines parents are still waiting for information, and classes start tomorrow. So I think it's safe to say we're all going to learn a lot this year. It just may not be exactly what we're supposed to learn in a school year. And Grant, I'm sure that we'll have an opportunity to talk again as we follow education in Iowa this year. Thank you for your time today.
You're welcome.
Iowa Public Radio reporter Grant Gerlach. This hour, we're talking about online education. And if your kids have already started school, if you have some experience with either a hybrid component that includes some online learning or fully online education, let us know how it's going. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. Tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Students all over Iowa are going back to school, and a lot of students are going back to school online this year. This hour, we're talking about online education, the pros and cons, and how teachers and students and families can make the most of it. If you have experience with this so far this school year, we'd love to hear how it's going. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And my next guest is John Akrazoglu. He is no stranger to online learning. He's director of the Education Technology Center with a faculty appointment in the Department of Teaching and Learning at the University of Iowa. And he's been involved in online learning for more than 20 years. He established the University of Iowa Certificate in Online Teaching. Hello, John.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today. And now, online education is not new, especially it has been used in higher education. A lot of people have been doing distance learning for more than a decade now, especially in pursuing graduate degrees. But this is new to a lot of families, and it is going to be used in elementary especially, but K through 12 school in a way that it's really never been used before. How well do we understand online learning for K through 12 students?
Well, you know, Charity, I've been asked many times, is online for any grade level as good as face-to-face? And it depends. All of us have probably seen some really bad and some really good face-to-face classroom teaching. Same with online classes. A lot of the success in any grade level depends on the teacher. In the hands of a skilled, trained teacher, online learning can be very, very effective. You know, they have at their fingertips right now powerful technologies they can harness to enrich and fortify the curriculum and engage with students. And, you know, you got to ask, you know, what do the students think about all this? You know, we hear from mothers, but what do they think about it? And I do survey our students about technology every semester. And these are students coming in to the College of Education. So they're sophomores and juniors, okay? And in general, they do prefer face-to-face to online teaching. You know, most, according to my surveys, have taken at least 2-3 online classes. And a question I asked is, compared to face-to-face courses you have taken, how would you rate the overall instructional quality of the online courses you have taken? And the choices are better than face-to-face. Only 2% would say that. About the same as face-to-face. 43% say, yeah, they're about equal. Not as good as face-to-face, about 37. And the big question I ask, given the choice, would you prefer a face-to-face or online class? 84%, Charity, say they prefer an online class, you know. I offer online face-to-face.
84% say they prefer an online class?
A face-to-face class.
Okay. I was like, wow, that wasn't what I was expecting at all.
No, it caught me there. Yeah. Oops. And Charity, I offer the same class online with face-to-face sections. And again, the face-to-face ones tend to fill a stitch quicker.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely some work that needs to be done, you know. And the problem I see, Charity, and I see this over and over throughout all the years, you know, first dive into online teaching for teachers, they're tempted to replace the talking head at the front of the classroom or lecture hall with a talking head on screen. And it can be a terrible experience for learners passively sitting there watching the screen for a long, long time. And also, I don't want you to forget that these surveyed students are entering the University of Iowa College of Education. They have not yet tried our fine offerings in the College of Education online offerings. Some of the online courses we put together are ranked extremely well by students, often calling them the best courses they ever taken.
So, okay. You know, and I think in thinking about K through 12 schools this year, honestly, I think almost everyone, probably higher than that 84% when we talk about K through 12 schools, would prefer a face-to-face learning experience. Although we also have to understand that face-to-face learning in a lot of districts is going to be different this year. There are pros that we're going to have small classes in a lot of districts, which could be really tremendous for students, but also the wearing of PPE and the social distancing and the fact that they're not going to be in school every day of the week for a lot of students. There are so many different factors in play. But I want to get back to something that you said, John, is that when you have a skilled teacher delivering the online content, it can be very engaging. And a lot of teachers who are skilled teachers are going to be teaching online really for the first time this fall. I know a lot of them did online interaction with their students in the spring, but that was pretty scattershot. So what does a teacher need to be prepared to teach in an engaging way online?
Well, there's a lot of courses and workshops right now being offered by the schools, AEAs, and to build the skills. And not only the technologies, Charity, but also the curricular issues needed for successful online teaching. And again, you mentioned our certificate of online teaching that we offer here at the University of Iowa. It's 12 semester hours. You take 4 courses, and we made sure it's balanced between pedagogy, psychology, learning theory, and of course the cutting edge technologies. So it's not all tech. You got to think of some creative ways of implementing that technology. And I think the future is bright. We've got some tremendous technologies that can really enrich the learning experience and take advantage of these remarkable strategies and technologies to again, engage in a broader sense, make maybe learning a little bit deeper and broader. For example, you know, all this Zooming going on, not that many years ago, a video phone was about the size of a lunchbox and very, very big and expensive, okay? But now it fits in your back pocket and you can do some remarkable things. And, you know, for example, some of the projects I've been involved with, one was communicating between in rural Iowa City or a rural Iowa school, Donelson, Iowa, Central East School District, all population 900, with Karachi, Pakistan. And these were kids, K-12. The teachers in Donelson, Iowa, wanted to globalize their curriculum, while the kids in Karachi, Pakistan, about 19 million people, wanted to learn English and American customs. And it was a big hit. You know, the proof in the pudding is the kids in Donelson, because of the time zone differences, would have to come super early to school. And likewise, the kids in Pakistan had to come in after school late at night. And we shared a lot of stories. For example, the kids in Donelson at the very end gave an aerial tour with their drone airplane to the kids in Karachi. And they noticed a lot of open white spaces in Iowa, but also a lot of pickup trucks in the student parking lot. And they thought that was sort of cool. And then they showed us their bicycles and motor scooters and theirs. In a similar project between Kyoto, Iowa, and downtown Boston kids, they shared their writings and, you know, some interesting things where one of the girls in Kyoto was named Junior Miss Pork Queen. And the kids in Boston didn't think that was a virtue. They thought maybe it was an insult. But no, we learned from each other. And in the end, the kids in Boston were told that the kids in Iowa had Tractor Day, where all the kids would drive their tractors to school, and the Boston kids didn't believe it. Well, the principal gave us permission to put the webcam over lunch on the windowsill, and the kids in Kyoto, Iowa, gave a tractor parade. And in the end, it was a hoot.
I can see how that can create a lot of connections between people. I want to get back to some basics because,
yeah,
you know, teachers don't have time to go back to school to learn to be online teachers. They had this summer, and I'm sure that there were a lot of workshops and a lot of skills sharing going on. But can you give me some fundamental things that can help a teacher be engaging when they teach online, to avoid that talking head situation?
Right, and also the black hole where students submit things they don't hear, they don't know if there's really anybody who cares on the other end. Charity, communicate. And teachers, not with just students, parents, and other teachers. Again, don't be the black hole that students never get anything out of, all right? For example, in my online classes, we send out something called Sunday messages, with reminders of what is due and coming up in the week, and students thought that was really, really helpful, okay? So, again, in class, you've got that direction. You've got that accountability. You've got that relationship, a trusting, caring relationship that can be established. I believe you can do that online, but you got to communicate and think out of the box on how you're going to do that. Again, provide the structure, direction, and accountability normally we'll find face-to-face class, and establish a positive, caring, and trusting teacher-learner relationship over the internet.
So that's difficult if you have, you know, a class of 30 students, or if you have seven classes of 30 students throughout the day. What are some of the ways that teachers can really create that personal connection with individual students? Because it can't all just be talking to a group, right?
Well, you can talk to a group, okay, depending on how you use the tools that are given to you, but just think about how do you do it in a normal classroom, okay? Be an active listener. And although you can't see some of the nonverbal things going on there, you can get a sense of the interactions. And again, some of the interesting things happening, Charity, is some of these students in person, you would never, ever hear from them. But a lot of them come out online. So you might be able to establish better relationships with some students online. And I know that some of these students who would never say anything, never ask a question face-to-face, certainly can ask you some pretty good questions if they're, you know, they've had time to compose and think of questions. And again, I'm hoping that I can provide better answers if I can sit down and reflect rather than get put on the spot in front of the stage. So there's pros and cons, Charity, that online might do for some students a little bit better in establishing these relationships than face-to-face. And it all depends on the student and trying to accommodate all the different ways students learn, that students can be assessed, and then can be engaged, and try to create the materials ahead of time that makes these universally acceptable university accessible materials to the different ways that students learn and get engaged.
We are talking about online learning this hour. A lot of Iowa students will be engaging in full-time or part-time online learning. We would love to hear from you. If your school year has started and you have some experience with this, let us know how it's going. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me right now, John Akrazuglu. He is Director of Education Technology Center at the University of Iowa with a faculty appointment in the Department of Teaching and Learning. And we are hearing from a lot of parents who have had at least a little bit of experience so far with this online education. We heard from Heather, who says the first day was success for my kiddos. Despite a couple of technical hiccups, they both enjoyed their day and they're excited to do it again today. And the teachers want them to be independent, so I'll be able to get a few things done while they're learning. Krista says my seventh grader started online yesterday. He had three classes. He liked his teachers and he had some homework in two of the classes. So far, so good. My third grader started this morning. Here, Emmett says that in his district, it's almost an overwhelming management task. Nothing is standardized for technology class to class or teacher to teacher. Multiple options. I can't compare individual emails from each teacher without identifying which student they're asking me for a commitment from for their learning options. And all of this started the Thursday before school started, so I didn't have any time to do any research. And that sounds incredibly frustrating, John. With districts, I think that as people are cobbling together this system, some districts are going to be more organized than others. But having a consistent platform seems like it would be a really important part of successful online learning. What do you think about that?
Yeah. And, Terry, you got to understand, this is all new territory for a lot of us. So hopefully we can come up with those best practices, not just with technologies, but how we approach these entire issues that come at us, from keeping students engaged to the one big challenge we've had is reliable, robust connectivity, which can affect a lot of things. I don't know if people are aware, but on the first day of our classes on Monday, Zoom had a national outage. Okay, you could not run Zoom off the internet for the entire morning. We could not get a lot of our classes taught. And it was sort of a mess. You know, it's a risk you take by putting all your eggs in the Zoom basket. But, you know, it was like going to school and it was locked up tight and nobody can get in, you know. But everybody has to understand that we are going into uncharted territories right now and things like this will happen. We have to dust ourselves off, learn from setbacks, and get back on that bandwidth saddle, okay? And another related issue and challenge I'm sure a lot of parents have faced is getting online high-speed connectivity. It's a big issue, even here at the University of Iowa. Some school districts are checking out personal hotspot devices that gives families in need access to internet. Some school districts in Alabama and Texas are transforming old school buses into Wi-Fi hotspots for students without internet. And parking these old school buses with beefed-up Wi-Fi and it's serving as internet providers in neighborhoods needing internet access. And they can move the school bus around as neighborhoods evolve. And here at the University of Iowa, one approach that we're taking is trying to really increase the Wi-Fi capacities outdoors in our parking lots and walkways. And students and faculty can go online, sit in their cars or on a park bench to teach and learn. And it's becoming very popular. You know, usage might call for us adding more routers to our large Hampshire parking lot. So there's a lot of creative ways of doing this. And like you said, standardization might be around the corner, but it's not there now because we are all a bunch of pioneers trying to find the best path to where we've got to get to.
In our homes, what do you recommend as far as making sure that we're not running a whole lot of other things on our network and interfering with our kids' ability to learn?
Very good. Very good, Charity. You know, I like to say practice bandwidth hygiene. During class time, stop all other streaming. Turn off all non-school computers, TVs, and devices so all bandwidth is available for and dedicated to the learning technologies coming into your household.
Well, there's still going to be a lot of challenges for families with multiple kids and parents working from home at the same time, for sure. But that's some good advice. Stay with us, John. We're going to take a short break here and bring another guest into the conversation in a few minutes as well. With me is John Akrazoglu. He is director of the Education Technology Center with a faculty appointment in the Department of Teaching and Learning at the University of Iowa. We're talking about online learning this hour. A lot of students will be doing it K through 12, and of course university students as well in Iowa this school year. We'd love to hear from you about your experiences. Give us a call. 866-780-9100 is the number. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa School of Social Work, offering the opportunity to earn a master's degree from anywhere in Iowa, including an all-online MSW program. Information at socialwork.uiowa.edu.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about online learning. Many, many students in Iowa will be online full-time this school year, and many others will be partially online for the school year. And this is new territory for a lot of families and a lot of teachers. We'd love to hear about your experiences so far. You can give me a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We'll talk more with John Akrazoglu in just a few minutes from the University of Iowa, but I want to bring a very busy man into the conversation right now. John Mendoza is director of the virtual campus for Des Moines Public Schools, and he is with us briefly in the midst of all he's doing. Hello, John.
Hey, how are you today?
Good. Thank you so much for being here. And before the pandemic, you were already in charge of a high school accredited online high school for about 200 to 400 students in the district. Things have changed pretty dramatically in Des Moines. So give me an idea, if things continue as planned. I realize you're in the midst of a lawsuit with the state, but if things continue as planned, how many students in Des Moines are going to be learning online?
If things continue as planned, all of our students are going to be learning online. There is a process for our elementary and middle school students that are going to slowly be trickling back into a hybrid, and we'll be monitoring how that's done throughout the year and monitoring health and any other things that come up that could affect that decision. But definitely our high school is going to be staying fully online for the entire first semester. That is a dedication that already has been made. So virtual campus, our high school, we already still have our 300 to 400 students, but our staff and myself have also been helping support the district in what this online learning looks like for all high school students in all of our buildings now.
And this is brand new for the teachers in your district, at least for the majority of the teachers in your district. What have you done to prepare teachers to teach online in an engaging way?
The first thing that we did was we got our start date pushed back to September 8th, which really helped us front load some of our professional development for these teachers that have never experienced any type of online learning. What was good for us, like you stated, was virtual campus is in their third year of being an accredited online high school. Our third year as an online high school, and our second year as an accredited one. So we've already had a lot of our online professional development and training already built. And then we have many staff members, about 15 teachers that already have experience in being 100% online teacher. So we really utilized what we had. We utilized the professional development that we already had in place. We worked with the district and the other district leaders to help facilitate that and deliver that to the rest of our staff. And then we had a lot of our own teachers at virtual campus leading professional development and helping all the other teachers across our district in preparing for the school year in a totally different modality.
Let's talk about students, because this is going to be new for students. It's going to be very challenging for students. First of all, what are the biggest concerns in Des Moines, the worries about making sure that every student has access to a quality education?
Yeah, the first things we make sure we have, obviously, is we provide the devices, and we do our best as well to our capacity in providing Wi-Fi for our students as well, which I just heard John talking about as a concern across the state. And we do our best to provide that. But other things that we are making sure that we have to put in place for our students is creating some type of structure for our students. Some of the biggest challenges in online learning are one, establishing some type of space in your house that you can actually get quality work done, that limits all distractions. And the other one is setting up your own systems of accountability for that structure. Now, with virtual campus, we do have more of a self-paced model or a competency-based education model, but we do also embed structures in there so students can actually structure out what their assignments look like according to their syllabi weekly. The rest of our high schools are even taking more of a structured approach where there are bell times for synchronous learning opportunities, but also time for them to facilitate their learning on their own as well. But that's going to be the biggest part because these are kids. I have a high schooler myself that's also doing online learning, and one of his biggest struggles is developing that structure. Usually structure is developed for him. He has 8 periods a day. Here are the times he's on there. So now he's actually learning some of his own systems and putting systems in place to keep himself accountable. He's actually using a calendar. He's using lists. He's trying to figure out how to organize all this so that he can be as successful as he can be. And in some ways, I see that as a positive because at least for our older students, they're learning that structure that's going to really benefit them in the future.
When you talk about an environment where you're not going to be distracted, of course, that's going to be easier said than done for a whole lot of families. But do you have maybe just some hints or tips for us in creating these spaces for our students?
Yeah. The first big tip that I would have is to stay away from your bedroom. Usually that is the first place people think of, well, let's go to my bedroom. I might have a desk in there. But there are so many distractions that could be in your bedroom. For instance, even I'm working remotely and I can't work in my bedroom. I actually choose to go into my son's bedroom, into his desk, because there's nothing else I want to do in there. And it limits all the distractions from other kids, from the family, from TVs or anything. So my first hint would be to find a space that is really going to limit you from distractions, limit you from television, limit you from video games, limit you to really just focus on the things that you need to. So if you have a sibling, switch rooms with your sibling, use each other's rooms to do that. Stay away from living rooms. Kitchen table is usually fine besides that food becomes a distraction. So just make sure that you're finding that space. And sometimes it's going to take a few times. You're going to get into a space and think that that's a great space. And then there are so many distractions. There's people walking by you all the time or the TV's on in the background. So really parents should also have a voice in that and trying to establish that space for that student.
We talked earlier about the importance of that personal relationship between teacher and student, and teachers are going to have to be developing those relationships in brand new ways this year. Not every student is going to reach out. What are some tips for teachers and maybe for parents, too, about nurturing those relationships?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ways or things that we've seen in our success rates for students to be successful is to keep in constant communication with their teachers. There is a very big misconception in online learning when in terms of student-to-teacher relationship and connections and lack of socialization. I think that's said the most nationwide on why online learning can be detrimental. But what we've seen, especially with virtual campus being an established online school, is our student-to-teacher relationships and connections have actually increased because now we are building those relationships and connections in a way that correlates with what students are comfortable with. So when you're thinking about, well, lack of socialization, well, everything is now in a digital media and digital communication way, which ties right to what students are comfortable with right now and their most comfortable way of communicating, which is through social media. So through surveys that we've had within Des Moines Public Schools, even our last year survey, virtual campus students actually felt that they established better student-teacher relationships than any other building in our district. And I think a lot of that is due to the one-on-one personalized and individualized instruction and environment that a student is receiving. In a traditional building, sometimes it's even harder because you're one teacher with 30 students and you might be holding a lecture and students might not feel as comfortable asking you questions in front of other people. And there might not be enough time at the end of the day where when students do have questions, they feel comfortable reaching out via chat, phone call, text, video call with our teachers, and they establish that one-on-one instruction. They're in a different place probably than all the other students. All of our students are going to be in different places pacing themselves throughout. So they get that individualized instruction, and they're able to build those one-on-one relationships with our teachers. So my tips for students and families are make sure that your students are checking their communications hourly from their teachers and that they're responding to those communications and reaching out via chat or text or whatever is best for them whenever they have questions with anything going on in their online learning, to just reach out and feel comfortable reaching out to your teacher and build those relationships.
In Des Moines, we've been focusing, your work has focused with high school students in recent years, and so we've been talking a lot about those older students. Younger students are going to be online as well. A lot of families are really facing a crisis of childcare and making sure that someone can be there with their child. Do you have any thoughts about the families that don't have flexible work and are facing just enormous challenges this year?
Yeah, that's a huge one, especially for our elementary students. Daycares and daycare providers are having to step up and figure out how to help the students that are coming to their daycare in their online learning modality. There are different child care options that our district is providing to also make this happen and making sure that they're getting the right trainings, too, for the students that they might have. But with those younger students, that synchronous learning is even more vital and more important, and that structured time is more important, and a parent involvement is more important. Now, when they get to high school, students can start to individualize that. They might need help for that first week or two from their parents, but then they can really structure out their days and figure out how to get along. With their younger students, that's going to be a little bit more difficult. They're not only learning how to learn online. In many cases, they're learning how to use technology and different devices at the same time. So it's really important for our parents to be involved or even our daycare providers to be involved in that learning process. Again, I think you said it earlier, it's easier said than done, right? But that's just what needs to happen. Those that do not have that flexible of a work schedule are tied down. We just have to make sure that parents are informing their daycare providers of the learning that needs to take place for them and really helping them with what their schedules look like. And then I think there's got to be some type of outreach and community support for our daycare providers and our parents that have less flexibility in their work schedules to help them plan out what this is going to look like for their kids.
Well, John, I know you need to get back to work, but thank you so much for the time and best of luck this school year.
Yep, I appreciate you appreciate having me. So keep in touch and let me know if you have any more questions or want to know anything else.
We will check in again. Obviously, this is something that the learning curve is steep this year for all of us. John Mendoza is director of Virtual Campus for Des Moines Public Schools. We're talking about online learning this hour. We'd love to hear from you, your experiences, your concerns at this point in the school year. And yes, we'll talk about it again throughout the school year. With me still is John Akrazoglu. He is director of the Education Technology Center with a faculty appointment in the Department of Teaching and Learning at the University of Iowa. And John, we have a lot of comments from our listeners. Mira says, we live in Solon and the online learning component was contracted out, but overall, many families are struggling with a superintendent and school board that aren't taking COVID seriously, and their lack of concern has potential to be devastating to this community. Obviously, this is fraught with a lot of challenges this year. Sarah says, all in all, teachers are trying to make the best of a difficult situation. situation. I think they're the real heroes in this whole thing. My only request is that schools should have created uniform landing pages for all teachers of a grade to compile homework, Zoom calls, meetings, etc. All live meetings should be a calendar invite so that students and parents don't need to be looking through emails all the time. All work should be in one place and not over emails. We are setting bad examples of operations. And John, the learning curve this year is going to be steep. I suspect we're going to see a lot of schools making changes to how this is done on the fly. I saw somebody a couple days ago say, you know, give your school district grace. They are building the airport plane while they're flying it. This is going to be an interesting year.
Yeah. And, you know, just a word out to the students, you know, they've got to be patient with us also. You know, be a positive partner in all of this. You know, for many of us, as you mentioned, we are going into unfamiliar territories. There may be glitches, and there have been glitches along the way, but there will be wonderful opportunities to participate, learn, and grow. You know, stay focused on task, and do your best.
Let's get to the phones quick before we run out of time. Steve's on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What would you like to talk about quickly?
Well, I have been in education for 30 years, and I've been a former professor of education, and there are a number of issues that I have to deal with. One is being in Cedar Rapids. Nobody in Cedar Rapids has internet right now. And I think you can look from Cedar Rapids all the way to Clinton and find that a majority of people simply do not have internet and will not have internet for up to a month or more. And secondly, the other one is there's huge differences in terms of money between the poorest schools in Iowa and the wealthier schools in Iowa. The poorer schools, particularly those in rural areas, are having a great deal of difficulty dealing with online education. They simply don't have the money or the resources to deal with that. And along that same line, the number of poor people, poverty people, and again, secondly, in the rural districts, this virtual education simply is not working. And Des Moines and Iowa City does not reflect the state of Iowa.
Yeah.
And I have been in education for 30 years, and I don't know how the state is going to handle the rest of the state.
Steve, those are all really, really great points, and thank you so much for bringing them up. And, of course, dealing with a pandemic and the derecho and the inequities that have already existed in education in our state and elsewhere. There are so many challenges facing schools this year, and effective online teaching is just one of them. But Steve, thank you for bringing those topics to mind. And John Akrazoglu, can you leave me with just one piece of advice for families who are diving into this very briefly? What do you think the most important thing to think about as we start this off is?
Well, think out of the box. You know, we're all learning as we go along. You know, we have no choice in many ways, you know, having to try these new things, ideas, and approaches, and look at other perspectives at looking at things. You know, let me just tell you a quick story.
I've only got 30 seconds, John, so I'm going to have to take that advice, and I'll hear the story another time. But
Charity,
thank you so much for your time today.
It was a pleasure, Charity, anytime.
John Akrazoglu is director of the Education Technology Center with a faculty appointment in the Department of Teaching and Learning at the University of Iowa. We've been talking about online education this hour, something that a whole lot of families will be experiencing this year. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.